This episode includes discussions about physical and emotional abuse and domestic violence. If this raises any concerns for you, please contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you're in immediate danger, please call police or ambulance on 000. I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm romantically challenged. There's been a lot of talk recently about gaslighting. It's a form of psychological abuse where someone manipulates information to make you question your memories, your perception of reality, or your sanity. The term actually comes from an old movie called Gaslight, where a man slowly manipulates his wife into thinking she's going mad. Now, if you're watching the current season of Married at First Sight, you might be feeling as uncomfortable as I am by all the gaslighting and toxic behaviour that's been on display. It's really hard to watch for anyone, but especially for anyone who's lived it. With a partner who lies or twists your words in an argument or tells you you're imagining things when you call them out on their bad behaviour. My guest in this episode, Natasha, is a former contestant on MAFS. She's been really vocal on her social media about the way that gaslighting on screen is triggering victims of domestic abuse. I think Natasha's got a really valuable perspective on it all based on her own experience on the show, her studies in psychology, and her own traumatic experiences with domestic abuse. Now, I do want to point out that while Natasha does have a degree in psychology from Macquarie University, she has never practiced as a psychologist or a therapist. For more information or guidance on any of the issues we discuss in this podcast, please seek professional assistance. Here's Natasha.
Hi, I'm Natasha. I'm a 28-year-old woman. I've been married on reality TV. I am a mum to one beautiful fur baby, Spartacus the Pug. I'm self-employed. I enjoy the outdoors, exercising, and deep and meaningful conversations. Dating for me has been pretty contrasting, pretty wild, and definitely full of some interesting stories. My ideal partner is the man that I'm currently dating. My life motto is the goal is not to live forever. The goal is to create something that will.
Natasha, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
A mutual friend of ours recommended that I chat to you. Now, we share a beautician. I believe you call her the Skin Whisperer.
She is. She's so amazing. Just her personality, but also her skin secrets and the products she gives you to take home. Like,
and your skin is amazing, I've got to say.
Oh, I know. I don't wear makeup anymore because of her.
You were on Married at First Sight. What year were you on? And can you refresh us with your sort of story from the show?
Yeah, so I aired in 2020. I was married to a guy named Mikey. And then at the reunion, it came out that he slept with another bride. And I stood up and did a toast to her fake relationship. And I said, cheers to you, babe.
I think viewers would also remember you for the unsavory 10-second joke you made at the dinner party about your husband's performance in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I know you copped quite a bit of flack for that.
Oh, my goodness. People seem to forget that even though you're having a private conversation with your partner, it's broadcast to a million people. So there's no such thing as a private conversation on reality TV. So it's fine that we discussed it in front of a million people, but it's abhorrent that I said it to two people at a dinner party.
Because he kind of said it first, didn't he? Like, he made a joke of it and then you were sort of continuing on the joke, but then it wasn't received that way. Is it something you should ever really joke about, I guess is the question.
I think we were drinking at the dinner party and the way it got portrayed to Mikey, it sounded like I just sat there and bagged him. No man wants to be emasculated on national television, obviously. So
you had studied psychology before you went on the show. Did you think about the psychological impact it could have on you?
You know what's funny? I never really watched Married at First Sight. I just had the opportunity handed to me and I thought, why not? I was not happy with my work situation. I'd kind of ticked off all the boxes and I had this life that I thought would be my ultimate and it just wasn't as rewarding. So I took it as a chance to do a 180 on my life. And I guess because I had the psychology backing, I kind of thought, you know, they're not going to be able to run mind games on me because I already am one step ahead of them. but doesn't quite work like that. Yeah.
Look, I don't think anyone goes on that show to genuinely find love. Maybe in the first series when they didn't know what they were in for, but that's it. I mean, the track record of successful relationships to come out of it is kind of laughable.
Right.
I would suggest that the real motivation that anyone goes onto that show is to be on TV, which is fun, and to potentially see what comes of that, rather than a romantic notion of genuinely meeting the love of their life.
Hmm. I mean, I kind of agree with that, and it did have a low success rate, but I guess the season before had Martha and Michael. It had Jules and Cam. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe I could have a successful relationship. And on top of that, it was just, I guess, a way out of being in the financial market. I was just over it. I was overworking in finance. And I guess maybe you just hope that you're just one of the 3 in 70 people or whatever that have found love on the show.
Were you not having dating success beforehand?
People hear my dating history and are just mouth agape. I have a very codependent relationship style. Like, I'm loyal to a fault that I'll stay in relationships, like, I guess to the point that they're toxic to me. I've been in multiple relationships that have turned violent and physically abusive, black eyes, broken ribs. But I guess the stuff that took me the longest time to recover from was the mental abuse. And while I think physical and mental abuse normally go hand in hand, there were some relationships that were just the mental abuse. And it's just when you love someone, even if they're abusive, you really do take their words on board. It really starts to echo in your head. So
I'm so sorry that happened to you. That's awful.
Yeah, it sucks.
I just don't know how you went through it, but I think how you got out of it, like, there's a lot of bravery to get yourself away from someone who's abusive.
There is, and it's funny how we often have the thing, I hear it so often, oh, why wouldn't you just leave? And I think it's at the time the person had so much financial control over my life. So more recently, I was in a physically abusive relationship, but it just happened the once. And this time, I don't wait to give them a second chance. I don't wait to see if they're going to change. Once is enough. So, I mean, it should never happen, but I saw the red flag and I left.
Have you talked to therapists about why and how?
Totally. I think I've had the best part of 4 therapists now. I think when you have a psychology degree, you find a lot of issues with psychologists. Like, no one needs a psychologist more than a psychologist. And I keep talking about the patterns and they keep talking about, well, stop worrying about who you're dating and start worrying about working on yourself. But I think this is such a issue that people always say, don't date until you're complete by yourself. But that's not necessarily fair. You do need to do the work on yourself. But I don't think that there's this whole notion of being completely healed. And I think sometimes that pushes us further away from relationships. Then for I guess what Max kind of brought up is that people have this whole thing and they go, oh, you shouldn't be on here if you have trauma in the past. But from my understanding, a lot of people that go on Max have trauma in their past because most humans have some form of trauma from past relationships.
You don't actually marry, do you? Like,
no, it's not legally binding, but I guess here's where the psychology starts from day one. And that is, you know, your family and friends bear witness to you doing the whole, you walk down the aisle, you buy the dress. And it's so odd because my father was so against me doing it. And I sort of gave him a bit of a guilt trip to get him on the show. And so then I kind of felt obliged to make the relationship work because I'd challenged my family and my friends and said, this is something I want to do. You have to support me. And maybe I should have heeded their warnings a little better.
I have this theory that the people who go on these shows are pretty keen to be on TV and get a little, you know, a bit of fame. Yeah. I think producers choose people that are able to be easily manipulated so that they can manufacture certain storylines. This is my own theory. I don't know if I'm completely wrong, but
the reason that I ended up having a bit of a meltdown on set is because they were adamant to get me to talk to my dad about the 10-second incident. And I go, that's just not going to happen because my father and I don't have that style of relationship where we speak about sex. I don't know many people that do. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, I set boundaries for myself and I left the show and I put myself before furthering my 5 minutes of fame. So,
do you have a producer each or a producer
per couple? Yeah, everyone gets a producer per couple.
Do you feel then that you develop a great level of trust with that producer?
I kind of think you do. I think we're all aware that producers have one job, but they are with you the entire time from the wedding day, even in the initial interviews and things like that.
In your experience, how much of what went to air was authentic?
Yeah, it's all pretty authentic in the sense that, like, these things do happen and these things are said. Some of them are asked with leading questions by producers and it's cut and edited, but nobody sat there with a gun on their head.
Have you found love since the show?
I've had one more horrible relationship, but at the moment I am dating someone. I haven't even announced this on my Instagram, but it's going so well that we've been looking at engagement rings.
Oh, wow, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's really are you cool. deliberately not share? Because, I mean, you've got like how many thousand? 40-something thousand followers.
80,000.
80,000 followers. Yeah. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's, I'll share it eventually. Just, it's so nice to have something that's for you. And it's a bit of a whirlwind at the moment and it's a lot of love, but I just want to keep it to myself in my little bubble and I don't, you know, want people snooping into it. And
Yeah, I get it. What did you take away from your experience on the show?
I found a lot of spirituality that helps me a lot with my, I suffer from chronic anxiety and I found ways of dealing with that. I found, I guess it broke me down, but it rebuilt me on a solid foundation and I've got to discover who I actually am as a person and not just living by sort of standards set by my parents, which I guess I was doing before the show. I have this wonderful life now and I'm in a good place now. I don't think I would have done it if it wasn't for Married at First Sight. So I, in a weird backwards way, I'm grateful for the maths experience.
And since the show, I know you've been really open about all of your experiences. You've been really vocal on your social media, and I believe that's encouraged your followers to reach out and open up conversations. How does that make you feel?
I think that there's power in sharing our stories because there's so many women that message me and they find relatability in what I'm saying, and it's such a beautiful thing that I'm able to help people just by sharing my stories. I've had people come to me. I had someone this morning that said, oh, well, you had sex on national television, so who are you to talk about this? And it was like, hold on, are we comparing domestic violence and to say that I can't speak about it because I had sex for ratings, apparently? To say that somebody knew what they were signing up for, that's kind of the whole victim-blaming mentality that we see so often. And it's one of the reasons that only, I think, 7 sexual assaults out of 1,000 get prosecuted. No one wants to speak out about this sort of stuff because there's a whole thing of victim shaming that still happens.
The current series of the show is provoking a huge reaction, not just with your followers, but with many viewers, largely because of all this gaslighting that's on display.
For people that aren't really across gaslighting, if you just go and read some examples, you'll start to realize that somebody saying, oh, you're crazy, or it's even, you know, finding text that proves somebody's cheating, and then you get made out to be this horrible person that went through someone's phone. You know, that's a form of gaslighting, and I just don't think people realize how common this sort of stuff is.
What messages are you getting from viewers?
I find it's just domestic violence victims getting triggered and recalling stuff that they went through and recognizing the behaviors. So there was, I was abused 12 years ago, still have to deal with the most awful mental abuse from my ex because he's my baby daddy. The shit this man has done, and when I watch Bryce, he makes me feel the exact way my ex did. Yep, I spent 13 years with my abuser. I finally escaped with my 3 children. Triggers are everywhere. I've been in emotionally and mentally abusive relationships and I could see all the signs early on and it makes my skin crawl and brings back so many feelings. It makes me so angry. There's a victim of some horrific domestic violence. Myself, only escaping last year, he tried to kill me. I'm so proud there are women like you speaking up. And then to the other one, seeing Melissa sitting vulnerable on that couch is so traumatic and truly sad.
Yeah. I think this current season of MAFS is really triggering a lot of people, and I've heard it from friends of mine as well.
I haven't been off my phone for the last 24 hours. I woke up with something like 70 requests in my inbox just of women with the same story and thanking me. And it's heartbreaking in a sense to know just how common it is. It's heartbreaking to know that women are watching free-to-air TV and being triggered, and it's important to have the conversation. But I feel like we need to have some corporate responsibility here where we issue trigger warnings or posting helplines for victims of domestic abuse.
Yep, yep, totally agree. And maybe this really is what's going on in this season, is a reflection of reality in a lot of relationships, that there is a lot of gaslighting and there's a lot of narcissists out there.
Yeah.
Maybe by putting this behavior on display, what can we learn from it? Because I've been the victim of it, and it is something that usually happens behind closed doors, and you are the one that's left going, I'm insane, because they're making me feel like this didn't happen when I know that it happened, and he's telling me he didn't do this or he didn't say that when I know he said it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And it's usually just your word against his, and no one's really there to witness it.
Yeah.
By seeing this, it's showing us the reality of what gaslighting is and what it does to people, and maybe it will make people more accountable.
I hope so. I just think it's time that we make sure that enough of this conversation is being had, because the issue is those that miss the conversation, this is normalized for.
So these people who reach out to you on social media and share their stories, what do you say to them?
First of all, I say sorry, you know, that they went through that at the end of the day. So you acknowledge them, because a lot of people that come from violent relationships or mentally abusive relationships get denied their truth a lot. A lot of them are now coming forward because they've had the strength to move on. So I applaud them for their strength to leave. And then it's just kind of listening and hearing their stories. And if people want to stay with a gaslighter, it's knowing how to respond. So it's just cutting off the reactions. Sometimes you just need to cut them off completely, but it's just saying things like, we remember things differently. That's not my experience. And it's, I'm stepping away from this. So it's shutting down their ability to get the response that they seek, to get that validation, that fulfillment.
What's your tip for people to reach out, like for people that are in abusive relationships that just feel isolated? Because, you know, as we've said, gaslighters and narcissists have a very cunning way of isolating you and making you feel like you can't reach out, you can't ask for help.
So at the end of the day, have an exit strategy. There is emergency accommodation for women and children. Start having conversations. Start trying to get your support network back. You know, you might have pushed people away, but if you make them aware of what you're going through, a lot of people are going to be willing to help, because no one wants anyone suffering in this alone. And there's so much help out there, and there's mental health professionals. If you don't know where to start, my inbox is always open if you just need to have a vent. I'd rather sit there and give somebody half an hour of my time then I have to read about another woman that's been killed by their partner.
Is there another big issue that you're sensing in the messages you're receiving from people?
I just think, you know what? I had a guy that messaged me, and he's battling with a narcissist right now and dealing with his three kids, and he's telling me examples. So it's not just women, and we need to keep our eyes on our close friends and see if they're withdrawing from us. And we need to note things like isolation, because we often associate domestic abuse with bruises. And unfortunately, long after the bruises fade, the mental abuse and the trauma carry on for so much longer.
When I'm watching Maths, I'm giving as much attention to the show as I am to my Twitter feed. And it's amazing the discussions that are happening on Twitter as the show's going to air. And there was an amazing quote someone put up the other day that, you know, I've heard before, but I think on your point, just because he doesn't hit you doesn't mean it's not abuse. The deepest, most painful wounds sometimes can't be seen.
I love that. It summarizes it exactly. That's the conversation that most people are having, that, oh, I'm still dealing with the after effects. The thing that people don't seem to realize is that after effects from mental abuse can last for years, and healing isn't linear, and it's okay to lean on support, and it's okay to relapse and have a bad day.
How did you get to the point you are now? I mean, you've been through, as you said, some terrible relationships and horrific experiences. You then put yourself through Maths and everything that came with that. And now, you know, here you are speaking so beautifully, and you just sound so informed. How did you get to that point?
You know, I wish I could bottle it up and give it to people. Just happened one day last year. Just one day, I just sat there and I looked, and I was so sick of this vicious cycle I'd put my life into, and I just wanted to be happy. I dated somebody and I got hit again, I got slapped across the face by my partner, and I hadn't been in a physically abusive relationship for a long time. And instead of this putting me back into this loop, this vicious cycle that I'd normally done, I was like, is this going to be the rest of my life? Because it's my choices as to who I date. And I finally said, how the hell do I get out of this? Who can I lean on? And I just started studying more and reading more. And now I'm just addicted to learning about it. And I'm just hungry to know more. And now that I'm in this good place, I keep, some days I forget that I'm doing better, you know, and I'm like, does anyone really want to hear this stuff? And the second that I put something out, the response that comes, I remember just how many people are suffering and are where I was 12 months ago, 24 months ago.
Good on you.
I just think it's so important to go and speak to a mental health professional and get some advice on how to best deal with it.
Thank you for sharing. It's been so lovely chatting to you.
Thank you so much, gorgeous.
If you're in immediate danger, please call police or ambulance on 000. The number for Lifeline is 13 11 14. You can contact Natasha via her Instagram page. Her handle is Tashki _. Now that is spelt T-A-S-H-K-I _. This podcast is produced and presented by me, Sammy Lucas, and you can contact me at my website, sammylucas.com.